Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Best-selling author and psychologist Michael Carr Gregg, his latest book is on creating and fostering the grandparent-grandchild relationship, and of course while maintaining the parent-child relationship. Throughout time it's been a special relationship, but as lives get busier, retirement age stretches out and technology absorbs children, there are better ways perhaps to navigate the complexities and connecting and staying in touch, and also to bring the very real value that grandparents can to a developing child. Dr. Michael Carr Gregg's book is Grandparents, a practical guide to navigating being a nana or granddad, and he is with us now. Welcome, Michael.
Yora, how are you?
Good, thank you. As a foundational observation, just how important is the role of grandparents potentially and hopefully in a child's life?
It makes a huge difference to the young person, in that young people who have grandparents actively involved in their life do better academically, have better emotional and behavioural well-being, and seem to thrive from a very early age with that early involvement.
What is interesting, of course, is that the book is primarily about the grandparent-grandchild relationship, but the parental relationship between grandparent and parent is also a very key part of this, and I wonder if that's a good place to start right from the outset when you're first told that you're about to become a grandparent. As with any relationship, there's the right response and the wrong response, Michael.
Well, it's interesting that you should say that, because I've interviewed a lot of grandparents about what they call dropping the B-bomb, which is learning that your child is going to have a child. And apparently some grandparents say absolutely the wrong thing, like, are you sure you can afford this child? I thought you were saving for an apartment, rather than the unbridled joy response, which we really want from our parents when we break this wonderful news to them.
Some others to avoid: are you sure you're going to stay with them, being the partner?
Yes.
Was this planned? All this kind of stuff. What does your child need in that first moment? You just said it, excitement. There can be just simple responses, yeah, can't it? Happy for you, how wonderful. Just an affirmation. Because they're, what's the word? I can't use a non-swear word. They're nervous about this life change as well, aren't they?
Of course. I think what we really want is to say to them, we're really happy for you and can't wait to have to meet our grandchild. How are you feeling? Is there anything we can do to support you during your pregnancy? And we're keen to help as much as we can. I mean, that depends on the resources and the geographical location of the grandparents, but that's the sort of response that parents are looking for.
You're there as a coach, and you're there to be the person who's up and supportive, or quietly listening, or doing whatever's needed as your child becomes the parent. Let's talk a little bit more about the intricacies then of the relationship with a grandchild. And there's some myths that you bust in this book. For example, that everyone's a wonderful grandparent and wants to be a grandparent, and it's going to be this amazing contributor to the situation. Talk a little bit more about what the ideal is that's being aimed for, and then some of the fundamentals of doing it well, Michael.
Yeah, I mean, the golden rule of grandparenting, I think, is to wait to be asked. not to give unsolicited advice, but to be a support and to recognize that not all grandparents want to be desperately involved. There's some who are more hands-off. There are others that are very indulgent and want to spoil with gifts and treats. There's some that are sort of the Disneyland grandparents that prioritize entertainment and outings and holidays. And then the traditional grandparents, which are sort of the strong source of values, guidance, discipline, and support.
Things have changed in many ways in the lives of both grandparents and parents. A lot more parents having to work, both in work if it's a couple, or having to work if it's just a mum or dad. And that can get to some negotiations that have to be had in some ways, which is, what is the role of the grandparent? How do you establish where they can help and where you want to avoid friction over them becoming, what do you call it, grey care?
Yeah. Well, in Australia, where I live, grandparents are really the unsung heroes because they provide up to 58 hours of childcare a month, which, of course, with the cost of living, really makes a substantial contribution. But I think what we have to do is establish the expectations. If a grandparent is capable of giving 4 hours of childcare a week, it shouldn't metamorphose into eight. That's not fair. So expectations have to be clearly stated right from the start.
Let's talk about your grandparenting code, please, as a guide.
Yes. So it's an intergenerational guide, and I think it's designed to 20 principles designed to help grandparents feel more confident, to strengthen the relationship. And I said right from the start that it depends on your existing capabilities. So this is modifiable in terms of what's possible. But essentially, there are really important principles that shouldn't be violated. For example, I talked to a parent the other day who came home to discover that the grandparent had taken their grandchild out for their first ever haircut. Now, quite clearly, that's a code violation. You need to wait. That's a milestone moment. It's not your job to do that. Similarly, there was a parent who came home and found the child 18 months old getting a block of chocolate stuffed in their mouth. Again, not really developmentally correct. The things to do are to recognize that play is the great relationship builder. So learn to play with children, spending one-on-one time with them. The reason grandparenting, I think, has become more complex now is you've got technology, which we never had. The undisputed champion of the toy kingdom is digital devices. So what is the correct thing to do with parents and grandparents? And I think it is very much about managing that technology in a cooperative way. But above all, what I want grandparents to do is help their children learn about their heritage and create and maintain rituals, because the grandparents are the custodians of the family history.
What is powerful about that, straight away it occurs to me, is that it involves storytelling, and we know how potent and powerful storytelling is.
One of the most important psychological principles we've got is the power of the narrative. And I think our Indigenous people in Australia and certainly the Maori and Pacific Island people have incorporated that into their culture much better than perhaps Pākehā and New Australians. I think we need to get much better at that, because they're such important vehicles to transmit attitudes and values and beliefs.
So the play, which we know is children's work, it's what they spend most of their time doing. It's the way they learn. So the play, the storytelling and sharing of family stories, and, you know, even though you think they may not be interested, if it's a good story, they will be. Can you talk about not engaging in grand sharenting? Is that a case of oversharing?
Yeah, the eSafety Commissioner here in Australia has warned both parents and grandparents about not sharing images online in a public forum, because it does open grandchildren and indeed children to predation from those who would do children harm. So while grandparents are enthusiastic, we do need to have limits and boundaries around that. Nothing wrong with sharing on a closed forum, but on the World Wide Web, probably not a good idea.
Other things we don't overshare is we don't comment on parents other than to back them up, right? We certainly don't say, well, you know, your dad, my son-in-law, was never much good anyway. You're there to back the parents up, and this includes their parenting style, even if it's not yours. When do you keep your mouth zipped, Michael, no matter what you're feeling?
Look, I think if there is a threat to the young person's health, safety and welfare, then like any member of the general public, you would be concerned, and if it was an ongoing issue, having raised it with the parents and nothing's happened, you might have to take it further. But by and large, the first port of call is to take the parent out for a cup of tea, actually tell them all the good things they're doing, and then have a gentle conversation where you raise your concerns if it's a matter of health and safety. And I don't think there's anybody listening who would disagree with that as a legitimate role for anyone concerned about a young child.
The flip side, though, is it might be a very permissive parenting side style on the converse, and you might be thinking this child needs some discipline or some time out or some this or that. That, again, is not necessarily your call. Do you have to work with the parent's parenting style? Can you have a bit of grandparenting style that might be a little bit different?
You can. The shout and shame parenting style of the past is really a thing of the past. So parenting practices have changed, and it's really important for grandparents to understand that we've moved on. We never talked about neurodiversity. We never talked about young people, grandchildren who had come out or who were transgender. And I've deliberately included chapters in the book about that, because I think grandparents need to educate themselves, because they can be a tremendous source of support to their grandchildren, particularly if the grandchildren come out to them. So I do think there've been shifts and changes, and it's about educating yourself and understanding how you can support them.
Again, whatever your own personal views or perspectives, you are there to be the champion and the coach and the support and the always to be trusted and relied upon person for that grandchild.
Mm. A lot of the feedback I've got about the book, and it's only been out 2 weeks, were from grandparents who said, look, I understand that society has moved on, and I understand that no one's waiting for me to catch up. So I actually found the chapter on sexualities and genders quite useful, but I am struggling to come to terms with it, because I am a product of my upbringing.
So how do you deal with that? That is your issue, they are your views, they are your feelings, and you're allowed them. But do you need to be careful that they don't pervade the way you communicate to this child that you love?
Absolutely. It's all about loving the person for who they are. And the benefit you're going to get from that, there's research I cite in the book where if you have a grandchild in your life, the Berlin Aging Study says you're going to potentially live 5 years longer as a result of having them in your life. You will have better psychological well-being yourself as a grandparent. So these children are going to bring enormous benefit to you. And striking a relationship built on love and acceptance is a crucial part of that.
It's an interesting time to bring in one of our questions. Hi there. What can you do with a grandparent who is old school, racist, sexist, and believes their values should be educated into the grandkids?
Well, I think what you have to do is agree to disagree. Sometimes mediation is necessary. And as a professional psychologist, I spend a lot of my time trying to broker those kind of discussions. And there's a, I don't know if you've ever heard of Professor John Gottman, one of the great family psychologists in the world. But John always said that 69% of family disputes are actually unresolvable. So there's no point in putting a lot of energy into them. What you need to do is move to the point where you can agree to disagree. And that, I think, is the only option in the situations that you've outlined.
This person says, as a parent, how can I foster a better relationship between my parents and my kids? My parents don't get on with my husband and things were tricky when I was a child, but they're good people and I'd love my kids to know them. They always offer to help and visit in the abstract, but when we invite them to visit, it's only an hour and a half away, they usually have excuses and they're distracted during video calls. Any tips?
Yeah. Well, this is a kind of long distance grandparenting issue, and an issue where the grandparents are a little disconnected. So what I would be doing is, in order to kick things off, I'd arrange a neutral venue where perhaps they could share a meal, and you could invite those parents to bring along a family album. You could invite them to attend some school events. You could plan one-on-one activities. It's just a matter of giving them the opportunity to form these relationships and engage in this sort of neurological ping pong whereby the grandchild makes a bid to the grandparent and the grandparent responds. And by doing that, you build the relationship over time.
Another says, we're getting a few about technology. There's different ways to look at this. We were talking about parenting styles and being respectful of the parents' parenting style, but at the same time, within reason, you've got some, you know, views of your own as a grandparent about what you'll tolerate. And a lot of people writing about this question of technology, here's one. I'm exceedingly lucky to live in the same town as my grandchildren. They have really fabulous parents, and I do my best to set the same boundaries for the grandchildren as my children do. But my children spend a huge amount of time on their phones. It breaks my heart to see the little ones talking to their parents and being totally ignored. Is there anything I can do? So far, I've not done anything. This is actually a question about parenting an adult child, isn't it, in a way? How would you approach it?
Well, I mean, I think the technology thing's interesting. I think a grandparent should be able to set boundaries similar to home, in their home. So I believe that we need to encourage other activities like cooking and arts and craft. You need to be present and you need to co-play. I think grandparents can model that behavior when the grandchildren are with them and hope that that rubs off a bit on the children's parents.
So model it rather than say it. Show me, don't tell me. And you could be a little bit clever and say, look, we were doing this and this incredible thing happened. Of course, anyone distracted by their phone, and goodness knows what they're trying to do, order the online shopping or who's going to pick up the other kid or whatever, they may be too distracted to see what's happening. But your suggestion is model it. Persistently model the interaction you'd love to become more of your children's interaction with their children.
Correct. That's exactly what I'm saying.
What are one or two of the other myths, Michael, that need busting about grandparenting, do you think?
Well, I think that all grandparents are the same, because they're not. And I think we really have to be respectful of that. Many of the grandparents are actually actively involved in the workforce. What's happened is the age at which we die has increased. So grandparents are living longer and family sizes are shrinking. So the ratio of grandparents to grandchildren is actually increasing. So what we have to do is make sure that they have the opportunity to interact with all the grandparents in a consistent way, and that the grandparents go out of their way to become what I call charismatic adults, that they are someone from whom the young person can draw strength, someone that the grandchild perceives as making them feel safe and valued and listened to. A lot of the grandparents I interviewed for the book said that there was an epiphany for them when their grandchildren were born, that the love that they had felt for their child when they were born was in fact entirely replicated. There was an equal sequel in love, and that this was the most wonderful thing. And the grandparents, the great thing about having grandchildren is you can give them back.
Yes, indeed. Many will say it's the best time for experiencing, as you say, all the good stuff and less of the stressful stuff. Speaking of which, just finally, as they age, as they become teenagers, it's funny, their natural and very important behaviour and instinct at that time is to push away from their parents. They are beginning to test their adulthood wings. Will they often, ironically, confide more in a grandparent at this time? And what are the rules around that confiding? If you are in that situation as a grandparent, you need to respect the confidences of a child or a teen, but you also want to help where you can, Michael.
Mm. Well, adolescence is a time of psychological emancipation from parents. They're trying to figure out their identity. They're trying to forge friendships outside of the family. And that's normal, natural developmental psychology. In the process, in some families, life could get a bit willing and young people can become quite hostile. They can shut down communication. But given what I've just said about the importance of a charismatic adult, this is where having grandparents really makes a difference, because quite often, if you've done things right at the beginning, you'll find that at a time when they're in desperate need of adult support, they'll seek it from their grandparents. And you've got to maintain a level of confidentiality. Where that would go out of the window is if it was an issue which related to their health and safety. But by and large, it's a wonderful thing for a teenager to have that close relationship with a grandparent, and everyone benefits.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Carr-Gregg, the latest book is Grandparents.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.